Hi, I'm Mike Morheim from Blizzard, and you're listening to The Instance.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance, episode 370 for Sunday, June 1st, 2014. Not the usual Friday. I wonder why. What's going on? What's happening here? Why am I not introducing other people? Why is it just me? Well, because you guys said that was fine, and so we're doing it. Friday was a cluster bomb. Dills had a giant work emergency come up and therefore could not be on. Terpster got tied up with work stuff and could not be on. I had some stuff come up that made it so it made sense to push it after they couldn't be on. And then I thought, well, what the heck? And then people said, hey, just do it solo. We're fine. That's cool. Some of you even like that on the Diablo show. I'm not saying that'll happen here. Trust me. But it will happen today. I'm on my own. All right? It's just me. It's just you. Let's make this an intimate gathering. Let's gather around each other. Let's spend some time by the fire. Let's warm each other's hearts with tales of victory, tales of death. I don't know. You may get on the other end of this thing and go, whew, glad this only happens once in a while. It's not our first time, right? We've had other solo shows. That's how it goes. But we're here to talk about WoW. We're here to talk about the World of Warcraft. And I was going to share with you a bunch of Macaulay Culkin news this week. Because a whole bunch of it actually happened. But...
God damn it.
We're not going to do it then. But I'll save it for next week. Because I'd like to have all of us talk about Macaulay Culkin's band and them falling apart. What are they? The Pizza Underground, I think? Where they... cover nothing but Velvet Underground songs and replace words with the word pizza in it. And they're on tour right now and they're getting booed off stages and Culkin in the middle of a harmonica solo stormed off the stage. Some pretty juicy stuff. For those new to the show and you don't know why I'm talking about this, well, you have to go back a few episodes. Anyway, that's going on. As far as my WoW week went, spent some time with the Shammy, the Shaman. I've decided I really do need to get up to speed on this boosted character. I feel like I boosted him and then it just did nothing. Just let him sit there and languish in his own filth. But getting the hang of it, he's fine. I'm not raiding or LFRing or anything with him right now. Mainly, I just haven't had a ton of time to do that. I did dip my feet into Wildstar this week. So the early bird deal's going on. And like all MMOs, bunch of technical first day problems. At one point, servers were inaccessible. Long queues outside of that. Mornings have been okay. The game's pretty neat. I think it's better than some have been willing to give it credit for before actually playing it. And, you know, again, I've said this on the show. My time in the beta was, the closed beta was a little bit rough. And I kind of walked away from that going, I don't know about this. Seemed a little sparse and lifeless and not all that interesting. I didn't like the UI. There were some problems. And but I had, you know, whatever. I try to keep an open mind about this stuff. And when it launched when I got into the, final beta weekend that they had, I want to say late April, early May, was it? That was fun, better, much better, in fact. Like, it was kind of surprisingly better, and I thought, all right, okay, I could see how this could go. Played it this week, and it's strong. It's good. It's of all the WoW alternatives out there, I feel like they've got a pretty good play here. It's at least different in terms of tone and the look and kind of the, I don't know, the humor of the thing. But also, I was really surprised. I did this quest line, mentioned this on Twitter this morning, but I did this quest line where you got to do a big thing for this giant robot tree. I don't want to give anything away here, but it's this weird construct, this giant tree that's half robot, half tree. And by the end of that quest line, I was a little choked up, and I don't get that way in MMOs. MMOs are not known for their sweeping story. You get that from the books and, you know, other extended fiction, but usually you don't finish a quest line in WoW or any other game and go, oh man, that really got to me, man. You know, straight to the heart, baby. But that happened here, and that weirded me out. Completely weird that you could feel that way after a quest line in an MMO. Very strange. Anyway, they have some stuff going on, and I think it's good. I'm sure some of you are playing. We have a guild presence there as well. The bikes all, the final, or not the final, but the second to last episode of Azeroth Choppers came and went, and that was maybe their best episode. It's unfortunate because I feel like it's the only episode where we really got to see anything get done. And they did it all in a basically just did it in one episode. Like all this lead up and all this build up, we got to that final show and it, well, almost final show. And they built the bikes like in 10 minutes. Like, there it was. Painted, assembled, fire them up over FaceTime with Chris and Sam over at Blizzard and get their reaction. And that was pretty much your episode. But they did show the bikes in all their glory. They admonished us to go vote. I don't know how you vote for that alliance thing. I mean, I know I'm biased toward Horde anyway. But even some of my most stalwart, hardcore alliance fans are like, ugh, I'm diehard alliance and I'm not voting for that bike. I mean, if they gave it to me, I'd take it, right? If they drop the keys off of the house today, I'm not going to turn that down. But of those two bikes, the Horde one clearly wins. And perhaps it's because just the whole Horde thing lends itself better to bike design. And that's harder here. Like if you were going to build horses or horse armor and then sell that horse armor or convince us of which to vote for, perhaps the Alliance would cream the Horde because of all the sort of, you know, Middle Ages fantasy, hard fantasy trappings that you can get on the Alliance side. And the Horde horse would, you know, likely be a little bit of a mishmash of sewn up leather and, you know, troll ears hanging around its neck or something, whatever. But when it came to the bike, I don't think there was any competition. So we know it's going to win. It's totally going to win. I mean, do we get to the end of this next week when they award it or whatever? And are we anybody going to be surprised that the Horde bike ran away with it? It's not even close. I'm a little surprised by that. But again, I, you know, willing to say that it's possible it was a doomed start because perhaps the Alliance is just a hard sell for a bike. You know, visually, you just can't get the same punch. I don't know. It's interesting. One other tiny thing before we get to the news. Did Figureprints go out of business? Does anybody know about this? So these are the guys that did, in fact, they advertised on the show years and years ago. And they make they made 3D printed replicas of your character. You would you'd go to their site and you'd say, here's my realm, here's my character. And this was officially licensed by Blizzard, still is as far as I know. And they would poop out these cool 3D printed dudes, you know, your character. Sometimes pets, I think they got into pets and stuff later. And they would be in this glass dome. I have one of GURP right over there. You can see it. I see the light glinting off of it. This would have been, oh man, late BC. Maybe it was early Wrath of the Lich King. I don't remember for sure when they launched this service. And it's been going ever since. And now suddenly I'm getting emails saying, do you know what's going on with these guys? Because I placed an order and haven't heard anything back. And it's way past the due date, and I can't get replies to my emails. They've charged my credit card, but it's almost like there's a ghost town. There's nobody there. Does anyone know? I'm really curious about that. I'm curious about it from the perspective of, Blizzard doesn't want to keep that going. If that's falling apart, they don't want their name on that. I know how hardcore they can be about their licensing stuff, and they're not messing around. Speaking of cool licensing stuff, I got something awesome to tell you guys about coming up here soon. We'll get to that in a second. All right, that's what's been going on. Let's get into the news.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
All right, before we launch into what's happening this week, I'm going to play a quick file. It's short. And before you go, oh my gosh, Scott, are you giving me a 10-minute commercial here? No. I think this kind of goes beyond that. This is a quick conversation I had with Kim Price over at Doghouse Systems about something I've been teasing you guys about for months and months and months, maybe a year. Can't remember now how long it's been. But it's super rad. Let's just put it this way. They'll explain in a moment. But Blizzard has teamed up with DHS, Doghouse Systems, for something so cool. And the coolest part about it is, well, you'll hear. I don't want to blow it. So let's just jump right into it. Let's have a quick conversation with Kim. We'll be right back. Scott here, and I am sitting down with an old friend, an old guildmate of mine, and also somebody who happens to work at my favorite computer manufacturing company, Doghouse Systems. That would be Kimberly Price. Kim, how's it going?
It is going wonderful.
That's
great. Very excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, the thing we're going to talk about is so cool. So, at the risk, there are going to be some people who say, what? Is this just an extended commercial for Doghouse? No, it's not. It's the raddest thing this week. It's the coolest thing you're going to hear about. And I've been holding on to this for so long. It's going to feel good to finally like get this out in the open and talk about what this project is. So here's the basics of it. Super stoked to announce that Doghouse Systems is launching a new side panel art category for all levels of systems that feature artwork from Blizzard. So actual Blizzard artists doing actual Blizzard artwork on the side of these things. One Horde, one Alliance. Specifically, the Horde one is super exciting because it is based specifically on my character, GURP, and his pet, Henry. So big old orc hunter on the side, sending Henry to do his dirty work. And it literally in the gear that he was wearing at the time when we started this process, and I sent them screenshots.
Yep.
For them to work from. I mean, that's how exacting these artists are about what they want to portray. How exciting is that?
It is. We have been like just on the edge of our seats with excitement on this. And it is so funny because working with the Blizzard artists, you know, we work directly with their art director out there. And these are amazing, amazing people. And so this is artwork that you can't get anywhere else except on our side panels, which is really cool. And it's so funny because when they were designing the GURP and Henry side panel, they would go to the armory and they would call us and they would like send us shots and say, you guys think this is okay? We want Scott to be happy. Yeah. It's got to be exactly like GURP. And it was so awesome to see how excited they were to, you know, put GURP and Henry on a side panel because you've been such a huge part of WoW that it was, you know, they really wanted to do that too. So that was very, very cool. And not to, you know, not say the Alliance side panel is awesome because it's a Night Elf druid and it's got her cat form and she's up there casting a spell and it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Totally beautiful. It is enough to make one even consider a Horde stalwart consider jumping ship and going to the other side. That's how nice that side panel is. So we've got both factions covered. And like I mentioned before, I think it's important to note, these can be used in any of the configurations, the mid-end, the high-end, whatever. Anything that uses that particular chassis is able to use these. And you've had other art on panels for a while, and that stuff's doing great and awesome and all that stuff. But first time you've got like official WoW sanctioned licensed stuff on the side of these things, and they're gorgeous.
Yes. And I mean, I'm partial to the Horde one, but honestly, Alliance people will be like, okay, I got to have that.
Yeah.
It is really gorgeous and amazing detail. You won't believe how much detail is in these panels because we actually print directly on the panels. And this is the most detailed artwork I've ever seen on a computer.
Yeah.
So you guys will be totally amazed when you see them on the website.
It can't be stated enough how long this has been in the works.
Yes.
I mean, my role in it has mainly been, hey, Scott, let's work this out and let's see what we can do from the instant side and all that. But you guys have been cranking away like crazy with approvals and back and forth. And as everybody knows, Blizzard wants stuff to be really, really well done, really well polished. They're not interested, just like with their games, they're not interested in working with people where it's not, you know, where it doesn't put the very best possible foot forward with whatever it is. And here is a case where that's happening. And it's really fun to see. And I got to say, I got a little choked up when I first got that artwork. And I saw even just the first sketch, because we got sketches early.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that thing and I about crapped myself. I was like, holy crap, that is amazing. I've never seen my character in such amazing light. I mean, this is like the stuff you see on Blizzard's website, the concept art you get in the collector's books. It's that quality. It's that level of stuff. And it just blew my mind. And to have that on the side of a case of a machine that is running WoW so much is just a no-brainer.
Yeah, they're just gorgeous. I was blown away, and I know how good our printing can be, but I was blown away how gorgeous the printing actually is. I mean, you can see how sharp Henry's claws are. It's just wow. And yeah, you know, the effects of the druid and her casting, it's just gorgeous. Yeah, it is amazing.
It's really neat. So you're in the market already out there, folks, for a new PC anyway. You're already thinking about this. You already know you want the great warranty, the incredible selection of parts that are used in these things, all the things you love about Doghouse Systems. And now you've got this added bonus. And if you're a big WoW fan as we are, then what are you doing?
A percentage of the proceeds will be given to one of Blizzard's 5 charities they support.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So they've got they're very vocal about their support of, say, Make-A-Wish, but they've got 4 other charities as well. And Blizzard's always made a big priority out of charities, both local, regional, and national. And it would be really that's a really nice piece of this, that you're going to be able to give a percentage of this from every one of these things that are purchased to those charities. That's awesome.
Yeah. So not only do you get amazing artwork, a kick-ass system, but you know, some of your money's going to charity. So it's like a win-win-win.
That's right. And it should be noted. We didn't talk about this before this, but in talking to John at Doghouse, a lot of people are familiar with in the past, there are, you know, many amazing cool panels that are coming out all the time over there. Mm-hmm. It's important to know that on these chassis, a lot of the stuff is swappable, so you can move this stuff around. If you got a box that had a piece of art that you really wanted on it, it may be possible in the future to swap other stuff around and do other cool things. The whole idea, the whole point behind all of this is, once again, DHS is showing just how versatile they are, and Blizzard is showing that they are digging it and they want to be a part of it, and it's super awesome. So I'm just happy to be the guy who makes GURP do quests and run raids, because the idea that he is on the side of that thing with that freaking cat, but then have that be a strong symbol just for the Horde in general, is just beyond words for me. I freaking love it.
Yeah. And we are very proud to have you on the side of our boxes.
Oh, well, that's very nice. And whoever that druid is, good job there too, whoever you are.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the druid is. I should try to find that out, because it's not me.
I assume they based it on somebody. But anyway, very cool stuff. Big thanks, Kim, for hanging out with me for a minute. And where can people go to learn all there is to learn about what's going on here?
Well, if you want to go to doghousesystems.com, you can see everything. But specifically, if you go to doghousesystems.com/blizzard, you can then choose your faction, Horde or Alliance, and it will take you directly to the product page, and you can customize it from there.
Great. And you'll see the artwork front and center. Check it out ahead of time, and have your mind as blown as mine was. So there you go. Big, big thanks. Again, that's doghousesystems.com/blizzard. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, we're back. Big thanks to Kim again, and let's just get right into what is going on in the world of... what are we doing now? The big news. All right. Let's check out Balanced Druids getting some serious changes. Oh, you know, we get accused of talking about hunters a lot on here. We have a hunter-heavy show, but why not talk about some druids, you know? They are not happy with Balanced Druids. That is to say, Blizzard. They say they're hard to learn, easy to master. They want the opposite. The mantra of Blizzard's always been, you know, easy to learn, hard to master, right? I'm not a druid, so I cannot speak to this, but that's the current thinking. Hard to learn, easy to master. Seems weird. Here are the summary of changes coming to Balanced Druids. Balance Energy is a bar that automatically cycles back and forth between lunar and solar sides, like day and night. The closer to the one end than the other, the more damage that side's spells do. So if you're closer to the, well, it's obvious, closer to the lunar side, lunar spells are more powerful. Balanced Druids now have 4 rotational spells. Starfire, lunar direct damage spell. Cast from the lunar side is strongest. Got it? I mean, this is all new, right? You guys don't have this slider deal now. This only exists in our future. That's a major change. That's a big mechanical change. You got Wrath, Solar Direct Damage spell. Cast that when the side is stronger on Solar. Moonfire. We all know Moonfire. Even I know Moonfire. This is a Lunar Periodic Damage spell. While closer to Solar, this button is replaced with Sunfire and a periodic... and then there's the Solar Periodic Damage spell. Both maintain effects where possible, or maintain both effects where possible. These are dots. Short dots. Star Surge. This is a direct damage spell that benefits from whichever side is stronger. Has up to 3 charges. So you want the extremes on either side. That's when you use that. Buffs the damage of the new, the next few Wrath and Starfire casts as well. Cast when able to follow up with a few strong Wrath and Starfire. So there's your basic rotation. That's a big change. There's some other stuff too, but it caught my eye on the forums. I was like, whoa, I don't even play this class. That seems crazy. Essentially, that's like a whole new class, like a whole new set of mechanics. A little familiarity, obviously, but looking forward to that, Balanced Druids. You got to be, man. You got to be excited about stuff like that. They also, since last we talked, put up a big garrison preview on the official site, emphasis on choosing which buildings you want, which leads to what content you see and what happens in the story, etc. We talked a bunch about garrisons last week, but there's even more there now. So dig into that if you'd like. That was on the official site. Here is a statistic nobody likes to hear. Well, WoW players maybe don't like to hear, or maybe it's no big deal, and there's some caveats, but here's the headline. Dota 2 players now outnumber World of Warcraft subscribers. Now you're saying to yourself, well, Dota 2 is a free-to-play game, no fair. People pay to play World of Warcraft. This doesn't count. Well, I would agree. But it's still a big jump. It's a big number. It's a big milestone for Dota. More than 7.86 million players have played Valve's MOBA in the last month. That's individual unique players. Valve's incredibly successful MOBA, Dota 2, now has more players than Blizzard's genre-defining MMO, World of Warcraft, according to player numbers shared publicly by Valve. So you match those against the quarterly results that Blizzard talks about during their earnings call. And that's how you end up with this. Let's see. The official Dota blog home to... Let's see. I'm skipping past some of this stuff because it's kind of boring. A Reddit user found this stuff. The counter shows Dota 2 players have ellipsed 7.86. So this isn't even like Valve going, hey guys, look at us beating Warcraft with numbers. It was somebody who just sort of noticed it. And that pulls it officially ahead of the 7.8 million subscribers World of Warcraft has had since Activision last reported these numbers. And that would have been in February. Was their last earnings call? Yeah, that would have been quarter four earnings, I believe. How does that work? It's not quarter one yet. I don't know. Point is, I guess, way to go Valve and way to go MOBAs. And let's see how Heroes of the Storm does. And it does feel like a bit of a fallacy of a comparison, but it is, you know, it's interesting. At the very least, that game has the hearts and minds of nearly 8 million players. And, you know, Warcraft doesn't grow at the same rate those MOBAs tend to grow. Interesting nonetheless. Mythic got closed. Remember Mythic? Oh, man. Dark Age of Camelot, man. I used to roll in Albion. I used to do RVR. I used to go after, was it Merlin's staff? Some of that RVR stuff was really good back in the day. I mean, the game doesn't really hold up now, but my biggest problem with it was the same problem I had with EverQuest, which was a lot of camping, a lot of just killing stuff for no reason. At launch, they really had no questing or anything like that. That all came later, but it was pretty cool for its time and, you know, predated WoW and was a nice diversionary game between sort of the EverQuest crowd and what would become Warcraft, World of Warcraft. But it's a sad day because they're getting closed. Joystick and Massively reported, we saw this coming, but it doesn't make it any easier or less regrettable. Longtime MMO studio Mythic Entertainment has been shut down by EA. Quote, we are closing the EA Mythic location in Fairfax, Virginia, as we concentrate on mobile development in our other studio locations. This is a familiar story in the games business right now, shutting down big studios and moving everyone to mobile. I don't know how I feel about that. Anyway, we are working with all impacted employees to provide assistance, finding new opportunities. either within EA or other companies via upcoming job fairs. This, according to EA and reported by Kotaku and other sources. Former Mythic lead Josh Dreschner tweeted his reaction to the news. Quote, condolences to everyone at Mythic today. It's the end of an era, but you were all part of something amazing, unquote. So don't forget, these are the guys who were purchased by EA, and their big thing was to make a Warhammer game, and they did it with Warhammer Online, and it didn't do very well. That was not a big success. It may have been a pretty good game. And didn't they go through, I want to say that this is true, and now I don't remember, but didn't they have a free-to-play conversion as well? So they were out for a while as a paid thing in 08 or 09, whatever it was. And then pretty quickly after that, they became the free-to-play model deal. Kind of followed the, who else was around then? I'm trying to think. Were they the only ones? No, there was, the Lord of the Rings Online was doing that. Were they free-to-play yet, though? Yeah, I'm foggy on when that all started happening. Like, who was first? Who jumped ship and said, we're going to go some kind of free-to-play model? That was probably Lord of the Rings, is my memory. I don't know, but sad, right? Sad. I killed a lot of little kobold things in that game. I was a Thurgist, and I used Earth Power, and you couldn't solo anything. You had to group. We had to have a tank, and we had to have somebody pull. There had to be a dude with a bow. It was a scout, I believe. I mean, the game had some cool stuff going, but on the whole, I kind of went crazy with it in the end. I just didn't, I don't know. There was too much going on there. And Warcraft just came out and went, oh, this is how this can be. And everybody left. It was bad. And I can't speak to Warhammer because I didn't play it. I remember at the time, Kurt Schilling, who was on our show a lot, was playing that game and quite liked it. He was into it for a while. So I don't know. And since we're all, you know, World of Warcraft is essentially Warhammer Blizzard edition. I don't mean 40K. I mean like the fantasy Warhammer. What happened to that Warhammer 40K MMO that they were doing at THQ or wherever it was? Did that all fold? Is that gone? I was actually really excited about that. You know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Blizzard got... Well, okay, this could go one of two ways. Blizzard could get the license to do 40K and make an amazing MMO around that property. Or... how about even better? Blizzard just makes a StarCraft MMO. Because StarCraft is, you know, pretty much 40K. I don't know, man. Something to consider. You know we'd play the hell out of that. I keep bringing this up. StarCraft in a massively online multiplayer role-playing game is just a kind of a dream, man. I don't even care if it's like super WoW derivative. I'd still play that thing so hard. Oh. I mean, talk about your sci-fi MMO heaven there. I would love that. Anyway, goodbye, Mythic. We barely knew you. Oh, what else? There is a little actual game-affecting news here. Heart of the Valorous buff went live this weekend. So as of yesterday morning, 100% more Valor starting tomorrow, yesterday. And this rolls, I don't know when this ends. Saturday to Saturday, I think. Is it a week? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, 100% more Valor. So if you were hurting on Valor and you need gear or whatever you're doing, whatever your plans are, change them because Valor is waiting for you right now. Get on it. Don't waste your time. Valor. All right? Valor. World of Tweets. That's right. This is a segment we call World of Tweets. It's tweets from Blue Posters or from developers or people at Blizzard in general. Used to be a lot of Ghostcrawler, and then he left. And now it's hardly him at all. Well, it's not him at all. We don't quote him anymore, which is unfortunate, because I think the world of Greg and miss him. He had a unique voice in this space. And he's doing it for Riot now, but not in exactly the same capacity. But he's still tweeting, and he's got really interesting things to say about game design and balance and all the stuff you liked about him before. Over there at Occupy G Street. All right, so we got one answered by Celestalon. The question was, MMO MMOC, I don't know what that C means, but anyway, it shows Distracting Shot as a new spell. Does this mean it's not being removed? Hey, Hunters, check it out. Distracting Shot. We thought it was going away. Celestinon says, yep, Distracting Shot and Soul Shatter are back. Ooh. Actually, I wasn't all that worked up about it leaving, so whatever. OMG, Mythic gets unique armor. Not Mythic Entertainment, Mythic rating, right? Thank you, devs. Manly tears is the hashtag, said this person. And Holinka replied, same goes for elite PvP gear. Well, this is good news, right? We haven't talked about it, but Mythic getting unique armor is cool. Because for a while there, we didn't know. I like to do stuff where I get the payoff is commensurate with the work I did. In other words, if I am doing things on Mythic difficulty, I think it's cool that you differentiate that. And I actually think the game should do that more. We talked about this with mounts and stuff. Put in some of those pay-for mounts as hard-to-get mounts in the game, and you got to earn them hard, and then make them visually different from each other so that when somebody sees it, they go, oh, he earned that one, or he didn't earn that one. Let's extend this thinking to all parts of the game. Final tweet, also to Holinka, was, will tank specs have a place in arenas in 6.0? I miss being a protaladin in twos back in the early Kata days, hoping for a return. Holinka says, we'll be experimenting with some ideas in alpha. It may be necessary to say that tanks take extra damage in PvP. How you feel about that, tanks? You like being a little bit wimpier in PvP? You like being in an arena and be a little softer, a little squishier? I'll bet you don't like that. I'll bet that's a thing tanks don't like. I'm no expert. But I play one on TV.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
It is the Town Crier. It's where you guys send your phone calls and your emails and your attachments to us, and we play them, read them, whatever. We're going to do just calls today. We always get a lot of calls, so it's always kind of the way we go. So if you really want to get something on, calls are good. Keep them short, keep them interesting. There's a very good chance they'll be on the show. The number to call is 206-202-3969, 206-202-3WOW, and leave us a message. We'll play it right here on the show. Or attachments and emails can be sent to theinstance@gmail.com. Let's try this guy.
Hey there, Scott and Dills, and of course the magnificent Terpster. Waffles here from Magthoriden EU. I was just calling in about the discussion you guys had last week.
Hold on, Magthoriden? Isn't that Magtheridon? Magthoriden? Anyway, whatever. Here it is.
About male players playing female characters and vice versa. And for instance, you, Scott, exclusively playing male characters as you're placing yourself in the world. Personally, I find a different way of doing it. I create a character that would be plausible within the universe, like for lore reasons, and then I sort of role play as them, be them male or female or whatever. But my behaviour doesn't necessarily change even when I'm female, which is fairly rare anyway. So there you go, just another perspective on that discussion. Cheers, guys. Love the show. Keep it up.
I guess if you're playing a... Like he says, if you're role-playing that character, but wouldn't your behaviour naturally change? I mean, if you're gonna approach things from the perspective of, let's say, a night elf... who's ticked that the wonderful Ashara is being attacked by orcs or whatever. I mean, if you do it from the perspective of straight up role-playing, I mean, maybe it's no different than if you played a male version of that. So you're both just as mad or both just as dedicated to the blue-skinned, long-eared ways, right? Or is it possible to say that you're... I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that doesn't matter. Because if you're role-playing, I guess it depends on what you mean by role-playing. If it's you going, I'm making up my own little fiction in here, and I'm going to be, you know, I've got a huge backstory for GURP and Henry, who look amazing on these side panels, by the way. Oh, my gosh. But anyways, what was my point with that? My point with that was, I have a great backstory with GURP. You guys would love it. It's a hoot. I think it's a real hoot. We're checking out. I have it written somewhere. You might want to go find it. Search for GURPS backstory forums or something, and it pops up someplace. And you'll learn all kinds of things about my dumb orc hunter. Okay. Next up, voting down party lines.
Hey, guys. This is Tark from Emerald Dream Server. I just had a comment on the voting for the Azeroth Choppers. And it just kind of seems to be academic. As you guys pointed out, I think a lot of people are just going to vote for the bike that they play, whatever, whether they play Horde most of the time or Alliance most of the time. Or they just know, you know, who has the most Horde players or Alliance players on any given time. So anyway, just want to hear your thoughts. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
All right. I kind of agree, but here's the deal. If that's true, because I honestly literally totally predict that it's going to be Horde. They're going to win this thing. But there are more Alliance players overall, by recent statistics, not by a ton, but enough that if they all voted, the Alliance bike would win if they're voting down party lines, right? I don't know. I think you're going to have a more active voting pool from the Horde side as well, because they get all excited and rally and like team up on stuff like this. They're louder. I'm one of them. So I'm not, you know, this isn't a, I'm not talking smack here. I get it. But they're a lot more mobilized when it comes to stuff like this. They feel more competitive and they want to win more. And I think there's a lot of Alliance players like, yeah, whatever, man. So I think you're actually going to get more voters out who are Horde players. And I just think they're just more engaged in these silly things than Alliance players, even though your overall base is more Alliance overall. I think they're the more engaged group. I will literally eat part of a hat on the show if the Alliance wins. There's no way they win. That bike is ugly. I really don't think they're going to win. All right, we got a quest chain idea for how to unlock flying.
Hey, Scott Dills and Terpster. I was wondering if you guys think that Blizzard would ever unlock flying through a quest chain. An example might be if the Aerokola are dominating the skies in the lore, that the players can make a treaty with them or stop them another way. Love the show and keep up the great work. Aerok from the Executive Server.
I like it's a question about flying, and it sounds like he's flying. Yeah, I actually think that is exactly what they're going to do. There's going to be a quest line that will end with them being able to unlock flying. That is probably what they'll do. Instead of just straight up, oh, you're 100 now, level 100, to go talk to so-and-so and he'll give you dirty air flying or whatever they're going to call it. I don't think it's going to be that simple this time. Because they've been so cagey about it and so kind of, well, we don't know when you're going to do it and all this controversy about flying, I think that gives them license to do something creative with it. So your idea is probably correct. I don't know what that will be or, you know, what form that will take, but I think you'll have to do something unique in the game to unlock it. I think they are driven to give you tasks like that and not just make it simple. With a lot of different things in this expansion, so why not that? Again, we don't know anything about it because they have not said when you're going to fly yet. They still have not said. You'll fly at some point. They haven't said when or how or why. That's it for calls. Thanks again, everybody, for sending those in. 206-202-3969. Leave them often. We're happy to listen to them right here on the show. All right? Okay.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week this week. You can actually buy, oh, by the way, brought to you by GameTimeZone.com, where you can get 5% off game time with the code Warcraft. You can buy Azeroth Chopper shirts and stuff. Is anyone shocked that they made a swag play out of this? They figured out a way to make some more merch from the Azeroth Choppers deal. Not surprising, but cool if you're into it. They're like those shop shirts they're wearing in the show, if you're wondering what they're like. And there's Alliance and there's Horde ones and there's hats and some other stuff. Available now. Go to AzerothChoppers.com. Boom. Click it. Go. Speaking of which, Blizzard has now confirmed, or made it confirmed with me, that once again, for I don't know how many years in a row this is, 2010 forward, they're going to be providing some amazing swag and stuff to include in Nerdtacular swag bags and as prizes at the event. If you still have not, for some reason, gotten your tickets and you still have not decided whether you want to come hang out with us or not at the Big Frog Pants event here in over July 4th weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah at the beautiful Snowbird Resort, Summer Resort. Oh, it's amazing up there. If you still haven't done it, go to nerdtacular.com and get your tickets because there really are very few left and we want to have fun with you. And these prizes will be there, and Blizzard's always good about this. And there's some cool Blizzard luminaries coming, and there's some good stuff happening there. All good all around for Blizzard fans and for World of Warcraft players. Nerdtacular.com. It is a short show. I knew it would be because that's how this works. The show is built to talk to all of us, right? And they're not here.
Good. Check it, check it, check it.
It sounds like he's here, but he's not.
Oh, shit.
Right? I don't have any Dills clips, do I? No, that's Terpster. Hold on. No, Terpster. Still Terpster. Yeah, I don't have any Dills in here. I used to have a Hunter talk. Anyway, they'll be back next week. So in some form, we will be a group show next week. Thank you for hanging out with me and letting me do this solo show. I wanted to make sure to get something out this week. I don't like missing shows. So I figured this was better than that. Some of you may say, nope, not better than that. I'm waiting for the group. Okay, well, that's fine. But for those who did, there you go. I'd like to give you what I give you. A bunch of stuff at the end of the show. Stick around for that. Thanks to Matthew Oxley for our theme. Big thanks to Paul Swickard for his intern work, and you can check out the posts he does on the site. Always good, always great. Our forum, show notes, archives, and more at theinstance.net. On Twitter, follow the show at Instance Show. Follow me at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, Terpster at _T, on Facebook /TheInstance. You can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. Do check out the Diablo show, especially if you like today's episode. You'd be really surprised how that one goes. I really, really like it, and it's real fun to be in the top 10 and be enjoying the hell out of that game and extending the Blizzard love through another channel. And note, I didn't talk about Diablo at all today. Did you notice that? You can get all that at the Diablo show, which is linked up on frogpants.com as well in the podcast section. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for being here. We'll see you next time.
New program gives hope to LFR participants everywhere. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. We've all been there. You queue up for LFR hoping to get some loot upgrades, only to find a third of the players have no clue about the fight. 7 wipes later, your reward for a spike in blood pressure is a drop of double gold. Relief, however, may soon be on the way. Today, a Kickstarter project called Raiding Rainbow launched, and initial reports are that it will make players better prepared for LFR by encouraging them to find fun and satisfaction in reading the Dungeon Journal and visiting helpful websites. The project raised $1 million in only a day, and it really seems like it... Excuse me, my producer insists on interrupting me.
What? Can't you see him on the air? Oh, really? Just wonderful.
I've just learned that the Kickstarter is not called Raiding Rainbow, but rather Reading Rainbow, and has nothing to do with Warcraft. ODN regrets the error. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go prepare for tonight's LFR.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Buxley. He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid who's going with this girl who saw Buxley pass out in Thunder Bluff last night. I guess it's pretty serious. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. Dear Journal, it's been a couple weeks since I wrote about sigils I was sent out to get, and I thought I should write an update about how this is going. In a word, weird. This prince sends me out to kill dungeon bosses so I can get these sigils. They're wisdom sigils and they're power sigils. I figure, how hard can this be? I mean, I've collected all kinds of things for people over the years in Azeroth. This can't be much harder than getting pelts, right? The tough part is waiting in line. There are 3 lines for dungeons. One for people that can DPS, another for healers, and another for tanks. The line for the DPS folks is really long. It starts in the woods outside of Ogremar, it goes down the river, over the mountains, down the trenches, and all the way past Gadgetzan, all the way through Aldum, out into some pontoons that are wading out into the ocean, and you start there. You better bring something to eat and read, because you're going to be waiting for a while and walking the whole way all the way up to the back of the front of the line. But I never did see anyone in the lines for the healers or the tanks. I didn't even know where to find the lines at first. Well, it turns out there are flying limousine mounts that take priests and tanks straight to the dungeons. They even have food on the flights. It's crazy. I even saw some tanks and healers take flights, get food, and then bail out at the last second before heading into the dungeon. Now, I know not all tanks and healers act this way, but I really wish the DPS folks had a flying limousine mounts like that. If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Epic diapers.
Although we're still months away from the new expansion dropping, we have gotten a sneak peek on many of the new features coming our way. Recently, Blizzard gave us a little more information on the new Garrison feature, where we'll be able to build our own little buildings in various zones. Well, I have exciting news. Blizzard has given me special pre-alpha, beta, gamma, zeta, eta, theta, pre-omega access to the expansion, specifically to test out this new Garrison feature. So, here we go. I've already logged in, and now I'll bring up the Garrison tab. And, wow, look at that. I have 21 building choices. Sheesh, that's a lot. Let's see. I can build a lumber mill, sparring arena, a forge, and... Huh, looks like there's another tab here. It's labeled Game Master Only? Ooh, this looks cool. Holy sh! Look at this. They have several kinds of bars to choose from. A strip club, a casino, a Roman bathhouse? What do these Game Masters need? Here's something a little odd. A garrison labeled, quote, where Chris Metzen's ideas go to die. Gosh, I wonder what's in there. I'm a little curious. All right, just wait a second while I open up the doors.
Previously on Azeroth Choppers.
No! You can follow me at Epic Diapers or visit my blog at epicdiapers.com. I also co-host TortureCast with Willie Dills and Kids Are Hard with my wife, so be sure to check those out. And for you science geeks out there, I'll be a special guest on This Week in Science with Dr. Kiki Sanford on June 12th, so look for that soon.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, I have heard that someone is making a movie about Azeroth. If I live in Thunder Bluff, would it be appropriate for me to take part as a human if I still have my mask from Hallow's End? I am not sure that a Tauren could ever masquerade as a human. You see, humans do not have a tail, and Taurens tend to have rather long, swishy tails. It would be a dead giveaway, even with the modern miracle of CGI. Perhaps you should consider a part as... Hold on, did you say they are shooting a movie? Here in Azeroth? I am sure there must be a part for a beautiful but deadly orc shaman. Producer... we should be making inquiries in this regard. Pardon? What do you mean the movie has wrapped? I do not remember anyone scheduling my close-ups. Tauren, yes. So, I think you should run very quickly before they put the cameras away and make sure they get your good side. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.